We're going to read once more from the book of Joshua, the first chapter of Joshua, and we're going to read from verse 6. The Lord gave a series of promises, really, to his servant. He told him that as he had been with Moses, so he was going to be with him. And so in verse 6 he says, "Be strong and of a good courage." And really the thought there is, be encouraged. "For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." Amen. And may the Lord bless this short reading from his word. As we've been noticing, this first chapter of Joshua marks a new beginning, a fresh start for the nation of Israel. One era has passed with the death of Moses, the man of God. Another and new era has begun with the appointment of Joshua as the successor to Moses. The beginning of this new period in the history of Israel was to be marked by a very special event. Actually, you could say a spectacular event, and that is the crossing of the River Jordan into the promised land of Canaan. The Lord said in verse 2 of chapter 1, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan," that's the river, "thou and all this people unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel." That land, which we often refer to as the promised land, the land of Canaan, was to be subdued before Israel. The inhabitants were to be conquered, and the country was to be divided up for the possession of the various tribes of Israel. And we read of that later on in this book. The promise of God was about to be fulfilled to his people. But as this new era was beginning, the new young leader, Joshua, needed to be reminded of the importance of the greatest legacy that Moses had left behind him. And that legacy was the law of God committed to writing. He speaks here of this book of the law, verse 8. This book of the law. Moses is the one who was under God responsible for the writing of the law. And what the Lord was telling Joshua here was the success or the failure of the nation in future was going to depend upon their adherence to God's word or otherwise. If they departed from God's word, then obviously the blessing of God could not be upon them and would not be upon them. But he said, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." So you want to have success, you want to be prosperous in your future as a nation, then that's going to depend upon holding fast by the word of God, faithfulness to the written word. And most certainly, verse 7 comes into play here as well. The Lord says, "Only be thou strong and very courageous." I want you to be courageous. I don't want you to lose heart. I want you to continue on doing what is right, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. So here's the secret of success in future for the children of Israel in the land of Canaan. And certainly, if we desire personally success, and I know that people have different ways of measuring that, but God's way of measuring success is going to be entirely different from what most people's measure is. But the way to be successful as far as God is concerned, the way to prosper spiritually as far as God is concerned, is to hold fast to His Word. That's true of us individually as Christians in our daily lives. It's also true of the Church of Jesus Christ. Where we get into trouble as believers is when we depart from the Word of God. First of all, in our believing, in how we think, if we depart from the Word of God, and then that translates itself into the way we live. Because usually wrong behavior can be traced up to wrong belief. If you don't believe right, you're not going to practice right. Of course, there are occasions when people claim to believe what is right and their practice is entirely wrong. But it's not an either-or situation. The Lord wants us to believe correctly, and He wants us to practice and to behave correctly. The secret of success for us is found in God's message to Joshua here. I think it's not only a challenging word, this, but it's also a word of great comfort and a word that will serve us well as we seek to move forward for the Lord day by day. Now, you think about what it says here about the law of the Lord. This book of the law. Obviously, sometimes in the scripture, the word law or the phrase the law or this book of the law refers literally to the first five books of Moses. But there are other times when it's another word for the whole of the Bible. For example, if you read in the book of Psalms, in Psalm 119, there's a lot of references there to the law of the Lord. For example, Psalm 119, verse number 1, blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. And you'll find phrases like that in other parts of the scripture, other parts of the Psalms, but also in Psalm 119, mentions of the Lord's law. It talks about those who forsake the law of the Lord. It talks about, in verse 34, give me understanding and I shall keep thy law. There are many verses like that. And the law in that instance, in that particular place, we could take as a reference to the whole of the Bible. The law of the Lord is just another way of saying God's word. And I would take it in that way in Joshua chapter 1 verse 8. Obviously in the context, it is literally referring to the law that Moses gave. The first five books of the Bible, because that's all that they possessed at that particular time. That was their Bible at that particular time. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. But if we apply this to the Word of God in general, it is certainly true that we should read the Word of God on a daily basis. That should go without saying. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein. We need to be readers of God's Word. And I think the scriptures are not read as they ought to be by many of the Lord's people. I think if we appreciated more what a privilege it is to possess a copy of the Bible, we might prize it a bit more. If we remember what it cost men in ages that are past to hand down to us God's Word, we might have more of an appreciation for it. If you read about men like William Tyndale, and even the great reformer before him, John Wycliffe, what they suffered from their detractors and their persecutors because they dared to work at translating and printing and even possessing copies of God's Word. We might appreciate it a lot more. Someone said the English Bible is stained with the blood of the martyrs. I believe that. We have the Book of God in such plentiful quantities, and people have become so used to having the Bible. I think in my own home of growing up in the church that I grew up in, having three sisters, when we were in Sunday school, quite often we would get prizes for Sunday school attendance or whatever it might have been. Sometimes I had quizzes and things like that. Sometimes the prizes that you received were copies of the Bible. So that we had not only our own Bibles at home, but ones that were given to us, ones that were presented to us. We had piles of Bibles, as I remember it, growing up in our home. Now, thankfully, in our home, the Bible was read. The Bible was studied, and we were encouraged to read it. And it didn't just lie there gathering dust. But I think sometimes the Bible is so plentiful, people have so many copies of it, they have every opportunity to possess the Bible, that they take it for granted. And yet we've known of people, even in recent years, in some parts of the world, and there's been a shortage of Bibles there. Not so many years ago, in the former Soviet Union, I read of some parts where there were Christians in the underground church who only possessed one Bible among the whole church. And so they had one, they didn't tear the Bible up, but they took all the leaves of the Bible out, and they would bring one chapter or one leaf of the Bible with them to church, and they had meditated and studied that all that week, and they would hand it over to another person, and they would swap for the portion of the Bible that they had. And that's how they all got to read the Bible. Now, we don't need to do that. We don't just have a page of the Bible. We've got the whole book, and yet, is it not true that it often is a neglected book? We need to ask the Lord to give us a hunger for His Word. It would be a terrible thing if it had to be taken from us to make us appreciate it. They often say that about people. You know, the things that you don't have, those are the things that you appreciate more. I thought of that in relation to those Chilean miners underground. Something that they might have taken for granted in other circumstances, I'm sure after so many weeks underground, they don't take those things for granted anymore. Daylight, for instance, and being able to breathe fresh air. Let it not be with us that we neglect the Bible, and neither should we make do with substitutes for the Bible. I am fond of commentaries, I'm fond of listening to sermons and daily reading books and things like that, but those things are not Bible study in themselves, and we should never substitute those things for the Bible. Certainly we ought to encourage study, further study, and there are helps that are available for that. But don't make those helps a substitute for your Bible. They're not there to substitute for the Bible. They're there to help you to get to know your Bible more. Now, it says here, you'll note, about the book of the law not departing out of thy mouth. Now, the Word of God is not going to be in your mouth if you're not reading it. If you don't have the Word of God in your heart, it's never going to be in your mouth. So it's important that we give attendance to reading. But as well as reading the Bible, we need to review the Bible. And that really brings us to the word there, meditate. God told Joshua, I want you to meditate upon God's law day and night. In other words, think about it. Now, there's a lot of things that we think about, and maybe they're not always the best things for us to think about. Do we think about the Bible? When we read it, do we think about what we've read? Or do we just immediately forget what we've read? Meditation, I think, is a lost art. Now, I know that in Eastern mysticism, meditation is often emphasized. But meditation, in that case, is not biblical meditation. If you take, for example, transcendental meditation, you know what it is? It's all about emptying your mind. But the Bible never encourages emptying of your mind. The Bible encourages filling your mind with good things. If you empty your mind, there's a great danger in that because it's going to be filled with something that's not good. Biblical meditation is really when we think over and we dwell upon that which we have read. Now, this word actually in the Hebrew, to meditate, means to ponder upon or to talk to oneself about. Now, usually talking to yourself is not considered a very good thing. Some people think that's a sign of insanity when you talk to yourself too much. But in this instance, it really refers to mulling over in your mind God's truth. Do you ever do that? When you read your Bible, do you stop to think about it? What does that mean? What is that saying to me? What's God's message for me in that word? What is this saying to me. Unfortunately and sadly, oftentimes the tendency is for us to have worldliness in our minds. But the Bible says that we are to fill our minds with good things. There's a verse that really we would do well to memorize. It's Philippians 4, verse number 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true. In other words, not falsehoods, but truth. Filling your mind with truth. Whatsoever things are true. Whatsoever things are honest, or the word could be translated venerable. Whatsoever things are just. Whatsoever things are pure. Purity. Things that are clean, not unclean. Whatsoever things are lovely. Whatsoever things are of good report. If there be any virtue, we should be thinking about virtuous things. And if there be any praise or praiseworthy things, think on these things. Get your mind and heart focused, your attention concentrated upon good things. And what you concentrate most upon, that's what you'll be thinking about. We need to review the scriptures as well as to read the scriptures. You know, it's a really good thing to have your mind full of the Word of God. The psalmist says in Psalm 1 and verse 2 concerning the law of the Lord, so it's very relevant here, in that law doth he meditate day and night. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Thinking about the Bible. We need to do that. Now, you're not going to be able to meditate on the Word in front of the TV or listening to the radio or doing some other foolish thing. We need to take time out. Find a quiet place and get alone with the Lord. You might want to use a pen and paper to note certain things down, or you might want to underline your Bible if that's what you are inclined to do. But we need to think about God's Word. Notice it mentions day and night. So that tells us that we need to take some time in order to be able to meditate on the Word of God. We have to take some time with it. You'll never get to know any person by dropping in on them, you know, once a year for a 5-minute chat. That's not how you get to know people. And you're not going to get to know God's Word by opening it for 30 seconds every few weeks. That's not going to happen. We've got to meditate in the Word day and night, and to meditate on it, you have to read it. You have to think about it. You have to know it. Psalm 119 verse 97 puts it this way. Oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day. How many Christians can say that? It takes time. We need to take time and make time for God and his Word. And we cannot let the pace of life today be an excuse for not reviewing the Word. Let us search the scriptures, as it says of the men of Berea. Let us search the scriptures daily, whether those things are so. We are to read the Word. We are to review the Word. Something else Joshua was told that we need to think about, and that is repeat the Word. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. The truth of God should be on our lips. Maybe in personal witness for the Lord, we can repeat his Word. It's a good thing to be a sponge and to soak up God's Word, but it's not good if you're a sponge that never gets squeezed. We need to impart what we know to others as well. The Word of God should be in our mouths. In the context of our own homes and families, God actually commands us to repeat the scriptures unto our families, unto our children. That's a command. If you look at Deuteronomy chapter 6, you'll see what God told his people Israel there. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 6 and 7. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. There's biblical instruction, teaching our children the things of God. And shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house. Do you ever do that? And when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up, that means when you go to bed and when you get up out of bed, that the Word of God has a place in your life. I know that it's important to have Sunday school in church. I think some churches think that a Sunday school really isn't all that important and we really don't need to have a Sunday school. I disagree with that. I think Sunday schools are very important. But they're not there so that families can leave all the teaching to the Sunday school teacher. The Word of God is to be taught by us to our own children and our own families, as well as to our own hearts. And then it's our duty to spread the gospel on a personal basis as the Lord would give us the opportunity to do that. We can speak the Word of God to others when we get an opportunity, when we get a chance to do that. And there will be opportunities that the Lord will bring to us. I think of how that man who was full of the devils, when he got converted, the Lord told him in as many words, look, you can't come traveling with me and the disciples, because that's what he wanted to do. Whenever he had been possessed with the devil, he now was healed, he prayed the Lord that he might be with him. And Mark 5 verse 19 says, howbeit Jesus suffered him not, that means he didn't allow him, but saith unto him, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion for thee. That's exactly what he did. He departed and began to publish in Decapolis, which means 10 cities, how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. He talked about what had happened to him. He repeated diligently the Word of God. And may we pray the Lord will give us the opportunity and will give us the courage to do that, to repeat his word. Don't say that you can't do it, because the Lord can enable you to do it. There were men of whom it says in Acts chapter 4, and let me get the reference correct, Acts chapter 4 verse 29, they prayed, and now Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word, that the word of God might dwell in our mouths. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. We are to repeat God's word. But then there's something else before we finish, and Joshua had this emphasized to him. He was to reproduce the word. What do I mean by that? Look at the words of verse 8 again. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that in order that, that's what it means, in order that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. And you'll find that same phrase in the verse before, in verse 7, only be strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law. Now if you were to study the book of Deuteronomy just before this, you'll see that there's quite a number of references in that book to that phrase, observe to do. Observe to do. What is that telling us? It's telling us, and Joshua was told this, that God's book is not just for memorizing, it's not just for learning. You know, you could parrot off large sections of the Bible and not live the Bible. It's all very well knowing God's will. But the whole point of learning God's will is that you might practice God's will in your life. This book shall not depart out of thy mouth, God said. You're to meditate therein day and night. I want you to learn about its contents. I want you to speak about its contents. But it is in order that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. That's the difficult part. It's carrying out in our practice day by day the word of God. There were two old fellows that went to church one day, and when the sermon was over, they were walking home, and one said to the other, well, that's another sermon all finished. That's another sermon all done for another week. And the one other old man looked at him and he said, well, the sermon is all finished for another week, but it's not all done yet. It's all finished, but it's not all done yet. That's only just begun. We are to be not just hearers of the word, but doers of the word. The whole point of learning is that you might be able to observe to do. And that ought to be our aim, to live out the Word of God in a practical fashion. What's the good of knowing God's commands if we're not prepared to obey them? What's the good of that? What good is it to be able to tell everybody what is from Genesis to Revelation all the way through and be able to rabbit off entire portions of the Scripture if it's not being lived out in your life? James chapter 1 talks about that, and it says this, "But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." You're only making a fool of yourself if you're doing that, he says. You're only deceiving your own selves. You're not deceiving anybody else, least of all the Lord. "For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he's like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass." It's talking about somebody looking in a mirror. "For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." Now you might say to me, well, are we going to be able to carry out the commands of God perfectly in this life? No, we're not. But that doesn't mean that we shouldn't try. That doesn't mean that we ought not to make an effort and pray for the Lord's help in doing so. You know, just because I can't achieve perfection doesn't mean that I shouldn't really try my best to achieve it. We need to practice what we preach. And what a challenge there is in that. And notice the reference to all that is written therein. The Lord didn't say, well, now Joshua, you can just pick and choose bits that you like, and then the other bits that you don't like, just leave them out. No, he said, this book, the entire book, you're to meditate therein, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. All of it. Every bit of God's word is important. There's entire and complete obedience. Some young students were one day discussing various translations of this verse of Scripture. And one student said, I really like my mother's translation. Oh, your mother's translation? I didn't know your mother translated the Bible. He said, yes, mother's translation of this text was, she practiced what she preached. Thou shalt meditate therein, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. Paul said we are epistles known and read of all men. In other words, people who may not be reading the Bible are reading your life. What do they see? What do they read? What message are they getting? Are we observing to do according to all that is written? Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Now we need the Lord's help in this regard. I'm sure Joshua would have thought that right away. Well, there's the book of the law. I'm supposed to meditate on it day and night. I'm supposed to observe to do it. The Lord says that's the secret of success. But look at the next verse. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. The Lord is with us. The one who is there, who worketh in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. May the Lord help us in our lives to read the Bible, to review the Bible, meditate upon it, to repeat the Bible by living it out, and to reproduce the Bible, observing to do, living it out and speaking about it, repeating diligently God's word. It's to be in our mouths, but also that we may observe to do. There's the practice. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. And may the Lord make us a church who not only is orthodox in its profession. We say we believe the Bible, we say we accept all these great doctrines, but they are people who live those things out, who practice what the Bible says, who practice what we preach. That's the tough part. That's where we need the help and the grace of the Lord. And may God help us in that way. Amen.